This season, we've explored a lot of ways that Albertans are tackling food waste. From rescuing surplus food through organizations like Echo Food Rescue and Flash Food, to turning leftover organics into energy with EcoGrowth Environmental. But what about the food that can't be rescued or reused? The peels, bones, spoiled produce, or the leftovers that go bad in the back of our fridge? That's where composting comes in. In this episode, we're talking to Brian Wanacott, the superintendent at Altroot, an Alberta-based company that's turning food waste into a valuable resource. By doing this, they're helping communities within the Edmonton area divert waste from landfills and return nutrients back to the soil. Let's dig in. Brian, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for being here.
Bree, thanks so much for the invite and for having me today. It's fantastic.
So we're going to be talking about Altroot today. Can you tell us a little bit about it? What do you do and how does your facility turn organic waste into compost?
Altroot is a local compost company based out of Westlock. It's a municipal class one compost facility. So that means it's registered with the Alberta Environment and Parks. And we are registered to take in a maximum of 20,000 tons of organic feedstock in a calendar year. All that jargon aside, we're really just a large farm. This is just a large microbe farm. That's how we treat it, because we are responsible and for the lives of trillions upon trillions and trillions of microbes. So it's not too much different than, you know, cattle farm or a poultry farm. We're responsible for those lives. You want them to be healthy and happy. And same thing here, just on a microscopic level, pretty much.
Super cool. I like the concept of microbes, and you're responsible for these microbes. And so for people who are listening and they're like, what does that mean? What is a microbe? When we're talking about composting, can you explain what composting actually is and how those microbes play a role?
Yeah, for sure. Composting is a natural microbial process of recycling organic matter into a stable and beneficial soil amendment. So these microbes are just like humans, in the sense we need the basic things: food, water, shelter, and oxygen. If we don't have enough oxygen, we don't have enough water, we become sick and we die. Microbes are the same thing. So you keep them in the best living conditions possible, healthy and happy, and they effectively break down organic matter. So like as I mentioned, it's really just a large farm operation. That's how we think of it. Most of our employees on site here are farmers, and we find that's some of the best people to work at a site. And we've got an amazing crew. They're thinking about the lives of the microbes so that we can process the waste, which is not waste, effectively.
So I kind of have a picture in my mind of how this process works. So I assume that food is diverted to your facility, and then it goes through the composting process, and then something comes out at the end. Can you maybe take me through that process? So where does the food that you process come from? What happens to it, and what's the end product?
Yeah, for sure. It's pretty cool. Even one business partner that still thinks it's magic. Like, how does this all happen? It's amazing. So all the food waste is all generated in the local community. So we take in everything from the town of Westlock and a portion from the city of Edmonton, as well as a portion from Strathcona County. It all gets hauled in by a truck, goes through a scale. We weigh it. I talk about it like a mixing bowl. So the material comes in, gets dumped, then we add the right ingredients or the right recipe to make a batch. And we're making batches all the time, twice a week on average. As I mentioned, microbes need just what we need, the food, water, shelter, and oxygen. So we add in the right recipe so that their living conditions are best possible, mix it all here with an excavator, multiple times, and then it goes into a batch, meaning it gets placed over top of large pipes that have holes in them, little holes that are connected to a large fan blower. That is providing the oxygen to the microbes, right? So the food for the microbes is the material itself. You gotta have the right carbon and nitrogen ratio. We water it. Like right now, we're watering heavy because of all the leaves coming in. You can see that it's been cold lately and the winds have been picking up like crazy. All them leaves fall off the trees. Trucks are coming in here. And this is always every year, a huge spike this time of year. But leaves are very dry. So we need a lot of water to add to it to put it into a batch. If it goes in too dry, just like us, we're not going to be very happy. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't work very well. It doesn't degrade. They don't reproduce and break down that food. So we'll add water. We'll add carbon often, sometimes an activator. And we mix it all together, put it into a batch under air or over air. And then we'll cover it with about a foot thick of older finished compost as a biofilter. That is essentially like the blanket, like insulation. Minus 40 out here, that compost is still at 150, 160 Fahrenheit.
Wow.
Under that foot of hot, active, finished compost, kind of, right? So that's like it's like a sweater for the microbes, yeah. And then, you know, it'll be under air for 7 to 10 weeks, so between summer and winter kind of thing. And then it cures for many months longer, passively, like without aeration, just in windrows. And then 6 to 9 months from start to finish, it'll be land spread on egg land here.
So if I'm understanding it correctly, so people, like if I lived in Strathcona County, I'm putting my food scraps, I'm putting leaves or grass clippings or anything like that, I'm putting it in my green bin, I'm putting it on the curb, a truck comes to take it, and then essentially it might make it to your facility. And then from there, you weigh it and you give it all of the ingredients that it needs to live. And so these microbes can be happy and help to turn this into compost. And then from the start of that process to the end, when it ends up on these farms and helping to go on their crops, that's about 6 to 9 months. Is that correct? I got that right?
Yeah, that's a bit right, yeah. I will mention, it might be cool for any listeners to pay attention to if they want to look at, we have built a full end-to-end traceability for every ton of material that comes into our site. We call it cart to crop. It shows when it came in, when it was applied on the farmland, and what crop that field grew and its intended market. And then that field's conventional fertilizer reduction.
So once this compost ends up with the farmers, is that the only person who uses it? Are they going to farms solely? If not, where else are they going? And what kind of environmental or agricultural benefits does the compost have?
So one of my business partners, Colby Hansen, so he is a large farmer just north of Westlock here. We literally built this site to feed his farm. So he's a fourth generation farm up there, family farm. And 4 or 5 years ago, he's transitioned his entire operation, their family, it's a large commitment, transitioned their entire operation to regenerative agriculture. So I've been working in compost for more than a dozen years now, probably. Compost as a soil amendment can have great benefits on soils, which is ag land or your garden, whatever. If it's not treated properly, like when you put it on your land, if it's going to be sprayed lots, if it's going to be dissed or cultivated lots, it's going to lose a lot of its effectiveness as a soil amendment of building the soil health. So on a regen ag operation, Colby and many other farmers like this, it's a growing community. And well, I think all over the world, but especially Alberta, there's a lot of regen ag farmers switching over to their operations. They treat it differently so that it can have maximum benefits. They will not spray it. They will not disc up the fields as much. And the compost will be put on different fields, like hay and pasture land that predominantly maybe wouldn't have fertilizer put on. You're taking nutrients, you're taking things away from it. So compost will add back onto it. It is a large commitment in terms of regen ag. I always say compost is one tool in a toolbox, right? It's not a silver bullet. It is a big tool for sure, but Colby's operation, they apply a few different tactics and processes and techniques to build their soil health. Mm-hmm. But compost has been one of the biggest in their operations. So in some of Colby's fields are 80 to 100% reduced synthetic fertilizer needs. So it's not just a little impact. It does have a large, large impact, right? So on the bottom line, he's not spending as much money on synthetic fertilizer. His soil health is steadily increasing across the board.
And beyond healthier soil, I think you maybe pointed to it a little bit in a roundabout way. How does composting contribute to bigger environmental goals, maybe reducing emissions, or particularly the circular economy? It sounds like this is really, truly, in its truest form, very circular.
It totally is. So a lot of those scraps are in many, many other houses. The waste is being generated here. We turn that waste into compost here in the local region. It's being applied on the farms. Those fields are growing crops that are fed to the animals. And then those animals are creating a meat product that is being sold in the local region. Mm-hmm. Those scraps will keep on going back in a circle, right? It very much is a local positive biocircular economy story for sure.
Yeah. No, that's fantastic. I love seeing this picture of this very local solution to such a large, not even just Canadian issue, but this issue across the world. So beyond that circular piece, especially within Westlock, what are the other benefits to composting?
So the reason we built the site was to feed Regen Ag land, but as a whole, for all the years I've been looking into this space and, always paying attention to climate change and such like that, I've always read food waste is in the top three, like most important, biggest impacts you can have on our environment. So for food waste redirection or reduction from landfills is a big thing. And the main thing is the methane generation. Mm-hmm. I've never quite understood it. I'm not a scientist by any means. Methane generation is something like 80 times worse than carbon dioxide. Like I said, it's quite bad for our environment. Mm-hmm. So when organics are in a landfill, landfills are an anaerobic environment. That means without oxygen. Mm-hmm. And when organics are in an anaerobic environment, they produce methane and generate methane. So I know I've read landfills are one of the worst places. They're massive methane generation hotspots, you know. So for the version of organics and for us here at any compost site is aerobic, with oxygen, it keeps the microbes happy, it does not generate methane, and it produces an all-natural soil amendment.
Speaking of those microbes, going back to the composting process itself, so composting at home is one thing. Some people might have their own composting bins or something like that where they're able to create their own. You're doing it at a much larger scale. How does industrial composting differ from the backyard version most of us are familiar with? Are we using the same components? Is it kind of the same thing, but just on a larger scale?
In a sense, it's the same, but much different for sure. And, as I mentioned, we're 20,000 tons a year feedstock limits, and that's we fill up every year here for sure. Very much larger than a backyard pile, but geez, there's some compost sites that are 10 times this size, like we're a very small player on the big grand scheme of things. We take the compost that you could do that in your backyard. Predominantly things like dairy, like grease, especially meat bones, you would not want in a backyard compost pot for sure. That would be problematic. That's going to attract rodents and critters. And, it's important to recognize, solving one problem may be creating another. So you could do a three bin pallet system, which is common in a backyard, but that you want to cover it up. That may attract some critters here and there. If you're on a farm, that may be not too bad, but I encourage people, you can look at Bokashi composting. Hmm. That is mostly rodent free. It's kind of contained, small, like apartment, small house scale, vermiculture, worm composting. I've done it for years. I encourage a lot of people that keeps kind of odors contained and rodents and all that. It's kind of a nice, tidy little space, and it makes really, really good quality compost. Backyard composting in a pile, maybe that's not the best fit for a lot of people, And again, if you're going to do that, you really want to do that. But if you're attracting a whole bunch of mice, and then you might get mice in the attic and stuff, people are going to be turned off of backyard composting, and that's no bueno, right? You want people to do their part. And hey, man, like vermicomposting, I think is a fantastic thing. And I've had good success for years and years with it. I know many people that have as well. I encourage folks to do that. Eh?
Absolutely. And so it sounds like if folks don't have a green bin program where they live, there are definitely options for them. Vermicomposting, I used to do that for quite a few years and I really loved it. I had You know, I thought of the worms as my little pets. So there was that little connection there, and it's a good way to compost. So I will make sure in the show notes of the podcast for people who are listening, if you want to learn more about backyard composting, I'll put some resources in the show notes for you. And going back to this industrial composting facility that you have, maybe we can talk about the numbers. I know you talked about 20,000 tons. Is that the correct? So that is your cap every year. Do you have any other numbers when it comes to, obviously you say you meet the 20,000 tons every year. Do you have any stats as to what that turns into for maybe emissions reduction or any other environmental stats that you're able to share?
Emissions reductions, yes, we have totaled that. It's slightly under that. I think it's like 16 or 17,000 tons of carbon emissions reduced a year. And yeah, we do fill up every year for sure. We're turning trucks away in December, and it's a wonderful thing. We had no contracts in place when we built this. It was literally a build it and hope that they come. And we've been grateful of the challenges that have come our way, and we fill up every year for sure. So yeah, I think we're taking 20,000. I think we produce, it's less than half, maybe 8,000 tons a year of finished compost.
Okay.
That all gets sent to farmland there.
So it sounds like you're turning trucks away in December. This is something that is a viable solution to food waste, or not food doesn't necessarily have to be wasted. I've talked about that this season. Food waste is not necessarily the best term for it, but surplus food, this is a great option for keeping it out of landfill and, you know, something that is quite viable, and you're turning away trucks every year. So this is something that, how many composting facilities are within Alberta? Is this something that is becoming more popular as municipalities like the city of Edmonton are getting green bin programs to try and help deal with this wasting food issue?
Yeah. How many compost facilities? Not enough is the ultimate answer. Like we built Altroot because we heard there was a lack of facility capacity in the general region. And again, first year filled right up. It is expanding from what I've heard, what I understand. There's a lot more communities, municipalities, and towns that are starting green cart collection programs. Absolutely wonderful thing. It works well. So, you know, like if it's cleaner food, it can go to say animals, or, you know, to farmland, farms for animals. Still has to be quite clean if it's going to be in a large vermicompost facility, which there is one locally in Stony Plain. There's a large operation there. But it's really dirty. It has a use. And we built this in less than a year. It was pretty quick. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we didn't have the budgets of a big city or municipality with tax dollars. Like, we had to do with our own money. But in under a year is pretty fast. And we have made a large impact on the local waste community, right? So, you know, there are other operations or waste energy. What I understand, you might be your multiple years. There's a lot more money invested that can take a lot longer time to have an impact on the volume, on the landfill reduction, right? So it's worked pretty quick for us. You know, more facilities like this are needed.
Well, it sounds like, yep, a viable solution, something that we need to continue growing, and I hope continues growing within Alberta and across Canada, because food waste, as we've talked about this entire season, we're at the final episode of the season. This is a huge problem. 46.5% of all food in Canada goes to waste. It's horrible. And, you know, if we're not able to rescue that food through organizations like Eco Food Rescue that we've talked with this season, EcoGrowth Environmental, turning the waste to energy, if we aren't able to capture the food to use for those purposes, composting is the perfect solution to capture all of that wasn't able to be saved and keep it out of landfill. So, you know, I'm so appreciative of the work that you guys do at Altroot. And I hope that, you know, maybe your facilities grow, you continue to do more and keep fighting the good fight against food waste. So, Brian, thank you so much for being here and sharing the story of, you know, composting and educating people on how it works and why it's a viable solution to our food waste challenges.
Well, Bree, my pleasure. 100%. It's a really important topic. And to me, it's as simple as the day is long. What is once lived can live again. That's like a rule in composting. If it you know, anything that's once lived can be broken down and become compost, right? So we also say like waste is only waste if it's wasted. Mm. Like there's no waste in nature. This is a man-made problem. It's a man-made thing. So why do that? We just shouldn't do it, you know?
That's the perfect way to end this season is, you know, it doesn't have to be wasted. It doesn't have to go to waste. This can be circular. And this is a very solvable challenge. And I encourage everyone listening. This is your call to action for the end of the season. Really take what you've learned this season and put it into action. You know, it's hard to be perfect, but let's start, because I think that solutions can only happen if we just start and we just try. So
progress over perfection, Bree. Progress over perfection.
I love it. Perfect way to end the podcast. Thank you, Brian. I really appreciate you being here.
Thank you again.
Composting might not be the flashiest solution out there, but it's one of the simplest and most powerful ways we can reduce food waste and build a more sustainable Alberta. When food can't be rescued, reused, or repurposed, composting ensures it still goes somewhere meaningful, back to the earth. Now, this is the final episode of our season on food waste. Whether you've tuned in week after week or just happened to stumble across this episode, thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to catch up on the rest of this season, you can find all of our podcast episodes and more stories of Albertans taking action for the environment wherever you get your podcasts. The What on Earth Can We Do podcast is a program of the Alberta Emerald Foundation, a registered charity focused on accelerating environmental excellence across Alberta. To learn more about the Alberta Emerald Foundation, head to our website, emeraldfoundation.ca, or follow us on social media at Alberta Emerald. A big thank you to our sponsors who make this podcast possible: the Government of Alberta, the Forest Resource Improvement Association of Alberta, Pathways Alliance, the City of Edmonton, the City of Calgary, and the TD Friends of the Environment Foundation.